Okay, so we go. Fifth position, right foot front. Plie, releve. Hold. Hold and lower. Plie, releve. Hold. Plie and stretch.
A line of young, swan-necked girls at the bar. A straight-backed, eagle-eyed ballet mistress judging their every move. For thousands of young girls across the world, the ballet class, even at its most basic level, is a sort of rite of passage. And along with the tutu and the leotard, the ballet shoe is one of its iconic symbols. First a simple slipper, graduating eventually to the pointe shoe. Pink satin, with a solid toe cap, allowing a seemingly effortless movement up onto the very point of your toes. An image of weightless, ethereal beauty.
So plie in fifth.
Oh, that it was so easy. Mind you, even for these 11-year-olds in their Royal Ballet School point class, it's not only talent, technique and the arch of their foot that will determine their future, but what they wear on those feet.
You don't want to leave the beautiful position on point. You want to stay up there, but the music's saying you have to come down, so you come down very lightly.
This is a story about the rival claims of a traditional handcrafted pointe shoe that served dancers for over 70 years, and a new American brand that brings high-tech manufacture to this most conservative of institutions. And it's also about the relationship between an artist and the most vital, intimate tool of her trade. And given that it's a story, it has a dramatis personae. There's Michelle Atfield, shoe fitter and director at Frieds of London, one of the oldest pointe shoe makers in the world.
The perfect ballet shoe is just like the Holy Grail. I don't think it will ever exist.
Eliza Minden, American founder and director of the rival company producing the Gaynor Minden shoe.
Ballet history is full of skirmishes between traditionalists and innovators.
Dr. Mark Davis, an orthopedic surgeon and specialist in ankle and foot injuries.
Ballet shoes are not designed for comfort, and they're not really that protective.
And a number of our leading classical dancers, including Royal Ballet Principal Leanne Benjamin.
If your shoes are good, it can make your performance. And if they're not good, they can really, really break your performance.
And Francesca Filpi.
If you've done a performance and it went terribly wrong, you'll say, oh, well, those were bad shoes and I'm never going to wear those shoes again. Bad workman brings us to a say.
It would be a very harsh critic who called a ballerina a bad worker. And anyway, there's a more basic question to be answered about what the tool, the shoe in this case, is trying to do.
If you look at most dance shoes, they facilitate dancing, but they don't protect the foot.
Mark Davies has seen more than his share of injured ballerinas in surgery, and while he might have reservations about what they do to their feet, he's in awe of their attitude.
They are the toughest of all athletes that I come across. I mean, they're much braver than international rugby players. I've seen dancers who have got stress fractures who will continue to dance despite the fact that their bones are hurting as much as anybody's would be hurting with a straightforward fracture, which is notorious for being exceptionally painful. If you think of the foot in the normal walking position, it's at 90 degrees to the leg, but when you're on point, it's parallel with the leg. So all the forces that are normally transmitted through the foot are exaggerated and are, it's all wrong. It's all wrong to be on point. The foot was never designed to be in that position. You've seen ballet shoes. They're just a glorified sock, really.
Clearly, no ballet shoe will ever satisfy the medical fraternity, but that doesn't make them any less crucial to the dancer, which makes Amanda Wilde's role as keeper of the shoe store a position of enormous importance with the Royal Ballet Company.
Here we are, this is the pointe shoe room. Long room full of pigeonholes on the right hand side there.
So you've got a mixture of different makes here.
Suppliers, yeah. These ones here are Porcelli. That's the only girl that wears Porcellis. Some at Dance Workshop Innovations, Gaynor Minden's, Capizio, some Capizios up there. Most are Fried. At the beginning of this month, Frieds pointe shoes, there are 1,498 pairs of pointe shoes in this room. Having Frieds on your doorstep is a huge, huge bonus for us, being, you know, down the road from them. No other company like that.
Hello, Ballet Shoes.
Hi. I'm in interview at the moment, Leanne.
I've got some here for you, actually. Yeah, no worries. Okay, hon, see you later. Bye-bye. That's Leanne Benjamin. And these are her shoes, actually. These have just arrived today. And she is the specific girl.
There's all sorts of things that go into these blasted shoes, really. Really, they're the bane of our lives. I mean, we just all wish, well, I certainly do. I think if the thing that will put me into retirement is if I keep getting batches of shoes that aren't perfect. I mean, it is that important to the show.
She is very particular about her shoes, and it is quite frustrating when you get a whole, you know, a large stock of shoes and some of them just aren't right at all for her.
So how many pairs do you carry around with you?
About three, I'd say.
Leanne Benjamin's shoes are handmade by a Freed's craftsman, as are those of three more young dancers, Pietra Pittman, Natasha Utrid and Lauren Cuthbertson. They poured them out onto the rehearsal room floor in front of me.
You can actually start getting very paranoid about your shoes. Sometimes when you have such a nice shoe, it just balances perfectly, it supports you perfectly, and you know that you're going to have to at some point let go and get another pair of shoes. Yeah. And it's just...
Yeah. What does it make you feel?
That sometimes your performance is dependent on your shoes and not on your talent.
I was doing my debut as Bluebird, Princess Florine. It's a big pas de deux in Act 3, Sleeping Beauty. And I'm not the most organised of people, but I prepared specially this pair of shoes. They were perfect. 5-minute call, decided I'll get into my costume, I'll go down and try a few things out with my partner before it starts. Shoes. Oh my God. I can't find my shoes. I just couldn't find my shoes anywhere. Realise, after looking through everything, that earlier in the day I'd had a physio appointment and left them in the physio. This is now 9:30 at night where physio is locked. Had to ring security. Vanessa Palmer goes up with her dresser in the lift, doing her costume up because she was also on in Act 3. Meets the security man outside the physio, collects my shoes, brings them down to the stage, and as the overture for Act 3 starts, I was putting on my shoes. That's a classic.
That's what you hope never happens.
Yeah.
If dancers have anxiety dreams, they probably involve shoes. And if they have comfort dreams, they're probably set in the Freed ballet shop. Almost all the dancers I spoke to recalled the thrill of their first trip to Freed's, a trip that involved being fitted for a pair of shoes, just as Fontaine, Makarova and Sylvie Guillaume had been before them.
Morning. Morning, very
pleasure to meet you.
And you, very nice to meet you, Michelle.
A stone's throw from the Royal Opera House on St. Martin's Lane, Michelle Atfield presides over a shop that seems frozen in time, with the smell of handcrafted leather lingering in the air, while shoes are reverentially handled by the attentive, highly trained staff. And all this under the watchful gaze of the great dancers past and present, Leanne Benjamin amongst them.
That's Miss Benjamin in that photograph there, in the Firebird.
I thought it might be the Firebird.
Yes. I don't mind how exacting Miss Benjamin is, because anyone that watches her dance, she articulates her feet superbly. So obviously, I understand that she's fussy about her shoes.
So tell me a little bit about the history of the shop, how it first started.
The Freed business was started by Mr. Frederick Freed and his wife, and he felt that he could do more for dancers than was presently being done. At that time, we're talking about in the very early 20s, there wasn't much care taken. Point shoes tended to be a particular size and you just crammed your foot into them. And so his boast was that he would make shoes fit feet, whereas in the past, it had been essentially that the foot had to fit into the shoe.
Michelle pulled open a drawer and unwrapped a pair of point shoes, complete with the hard toe support or block, made from paper, hessian and paste, and covered in the traditional pink Freed satin.
If you look at the block, it's hard, and you'll see it's sort of like a cup. If you were to try to put your foot in there and it wasn't wide enough, you would obviously damage your metatarsal. The metatarsal of your foot is like your knuckles, so the bones sort of float, and it's very easy to distort them. The shoes are made inside out by what's the old-fashioned turn shoe method. So they're hand-pleated, and they're initially baked in an oven. They're then taken from the oven, slipped off the last, turned through, put back on the last, rebanged out and put back in the oven. The shoe is then taken into the cutting and binding stage, where all of these points, we're looking now at the vamp, which is the front above your toes, the side back, which is sort of by the side of your ankle, and the heel of the shoe is cut to the dancer's individual measurements. Under the scheme that we've used, which has been obviously refined and built up, the maker makes between 25 and 32 a day. Now, obviously, that means that instead of the shoes being priced sky high, as most people would expect for a hand-lasted shoe, we're able to keep the price fairly modest and within the reach of most mums whose children might just be wanting to be ballerinas.
About what price is that?
The standard price for a shoe is under £30.
Stretch and seven. And stretch 2/8 to change.
Frieds currently have about 24 makers, each of them with an individual stamp that you can find on the soles of the shoes. Michelle encouraged me to visit their factory in the East End of London. It's a building as far removed from the Royal Opera House as you could hope to find.
How long have you actually been working here?
About 33 years.
And you knew Mr. and Mrs. Fried?
Yeah.
Did they actually come into the factory sometime?
Every day.
What do you remember about them?
They kept on insisting on good work, good production, good work, good production. That was the main two words.
And have you started this shoe this morning?
No, I've started 40 pairs this morning.
So this is your... Oh, my God, there's a huge pile here. All these are from this morning?
All these have got to be made today.
So how many do you get through in a day?
That's it, the pair, it's 40.
That every day?
Every day.
Fred Turner, or the symbol F, as he's known to the dancers who wear his shoes, was pleating in preparation for turning them inside out. His hands worked with a speed and dexterity that any dancer would wish for in her feet, though classical dance wasn't heavy in the air.
Have you ever been to the ballet?
Take a good look at me. Now, do I look and sound like I'm a ballet enthusiast?
Okay, thank you very, very much. Thanks.
When the Fried shoe, personalised and cut to specifications measured in millimetres, is finished, it then has to endure another rigorous workover, this time at the hands of the dancers. Ribbons must be sewn on, sometimes an elastic strap, and then, in the case of the Royal Corps de Ballet, a strange ritual begins when the knives come out.
And scrape the backs down.
Yeah, with a Stanley knife. Constantly with knives. Yeah. People get very nervous watching us preparing our shoes.
So what do you do with a knife? Can you show me, or are all these already prepared?
You see the sole, it sticks out.
It's like a little boat almost.
It's like a wobble.
So when you have the shoe flat on the floor, it wobbles. So you can imagine that's hard to stand on. So it's beneficial to shave that off. I don't know how sharp my blade is. You literally hack at it.
And then Natasha produced yet another extraordinary tool.
My rubber mallet, which I wouldn't go anywhere without. And you can see this is a new shoe here. It's quite hard, and if it's too hard, you know, you'll get blisters and your toe joint gets a bit cramped.
Exactly.
So if you give it a whack on either side.
Well, the door's a good one. Yeah. Sometimes you shove it in between the door.
And now it's just nice and soft, and you can put that on.
And you can't have loud shoes for Swan Lake.
They've
because
got to be quiet, that's another thing. Yeah. You've got to bang them on concrete floor to get the sound out of them. But the problem with that is that they go softer. So, you know, you'll have one great show in them,
Yeah. Nice
and quiet, but then you'll have to sew another pair when you get home that night.
Do your shoes leave their mark on your feet?
It's a good job this is for radio, not for TV.
Yeah. Can I have a look?
Well, no, it's fine now.
Quite but bad.
I mean, they're all bandaged up.
Well, at one... Oh, my sorry, you have to see this. But at one point, I didn't have to wear anything in my shoes.
Years ago, I used to use, I think it was animal wool, was it? Pad?
Well, that's what...
What do you use now? Things have moved on.
Silicone gel pads.
Oh!
There's a very old pair. Don't touch it. Don't.
They're called ouch pouches.
I keep this toe pad for a long, long time.
Fortunately, I wash it.
I think I'm going to struggle the next time I see Swan Lake and an entire corps de ballet on point. Struggle with the image of toe pads, jelly squares, ouch pouches, and all the other protection that's being used. What I now know for a fact is that after all that preparation, the free chew can wear out after as little as one performance of Swan Lake, or at best in 2 or 3 days.
If you were about to do a performance and somebody said to you, I'm sorry, you can't use your free chew, you've got to use that pair of Minden shoes.
I would say bye-bye. It's like saying to someone who plays the violin, will you go and play the piano tonight? I mean, it's just not possible.
And that seems to define the freed ballet shoe, a sense that it's part of the dancer, a feeling clearly enhanced by the special relationship between the individual maker and the performer.
My shoes are the most important things to me after my family. I know it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, the performance is one thing, and if your shoes are good, it can make or break. If they're great, they can really make your performance. And if they're not good, they can really, really break your performance. So it's crucial.
So how long have you been with your present maker?
I think it's been about 3 years now.
And do you know their name?
I hate to say this, but I don't. I'm sure I've been told, but to me he's just a symbol, and that's terrible, but he's Anker.
When I was down at the factory, I asked if I could meet Mr. Anker. His real name's Taksin Eratli.
Hi.
Hi.
So I hear you make the shoes for Liam Benjamin, is that right? Ah, you have a picture.
She sent me that.
She sent it to you?
Yeah. I'm sure she is a very, very good dancer. She's one of the top dancers in the world, I suppose, as far as I know. And that's why she's ordering lots of shoes. And yeah, I hope one day I can go and see her. I've seen her a couple of times in television, but I never been ballet.
But you'd like to see her dance?
One day, yes. Yes.
Now this is our fitting room, changing room, and again full of photographs. There's the beautiful Maura Shearer. From the Red Shoes.
And what does it say on the photograph?
With my love and grateful thanks to Mr. and Mrs. Freed, who made me my first ballet shoes and have made them ever since, Maura Shearer. What a lovely, isn't that lovely? And that's the corps de ballet of the Royal Ballet. I rather like having that. That's signed by Leanne Palmer. That's Vanessa's sister. Very different to her sister, very tiny. She only took a size 3, whereas Vanessa is a 5.
My name is Vanessa Palmer. I've been with the Royal Ballet Company for 16 years. I'm a soloist with the company, and I also assist the ballet mistress in rehearsals with the corps de ballet.
Which make of shoe do you use?
Gaynor Minden, American shoe, and it has revolutionised my career, my life.
That's a big claim.
It's a huge claim. It was simply that the physio department at the Royal Ballet Company, we had a teacher from America over, and he was raving about these shoes, these Gaynor Minden shoes, and I think that I had actually sprained my ankle, and that's why I was in physio at the time. And they sort of described these shoes, how they're made, and they're all exactly the same. They're based on the concept of a trainer, and it took about a month for them to feel sort of familiar. And I would say a couple of months before I felt that I was able to forget that something different was on the end of my legs.
The new shoes were the brainchild of Eliza Minden, an ex-dancer herself, with a ballet-teaching mother and an industrialist father. She's a keen student of ballet history.
By the end of the 19th century, ballerinas had begun to reinforce their shoes a little bit, and this happened especially in Italy, where the technique was already very robust and muscular, and these dancers were very, very strong. And with the addition of reinforced shoes, they took dancing up to a new level. All the ballerinas in Russia and elsewhere ran to their shoemakers and said, please, please give me some reinforced shoes like the Italian women have. And the shoemakers obliged using the best materials that they had in 1900. And of course, those materials were Hessian, fiberboard, paste, and glue. And that's where point shoe evolution pretty much stopped until the Gaynor Minden came along. I looked around me and saw that skiers and sailors and all other athletes had marvelous equipment. They had the benefit of technology. And why shouldn't dancers, who are among the most elite athletes, have the same thing?
What is the science behind the shoe?
For the supportive components in a Gaynor Minden, I use elastomeric material. These are synthetics that are wonderfully resilient. We've had them in machines where they bend them back and forth hundreds of thousands of times. They never weaken, they never soften, they never deform. The other part is the impact absorbing foam. And I didn't have to invent this. The running shoe industry did all this work for me. They have caused wonderful materials to be developed, cellular urethane and other impact absorbing foams that do a great job absorbing shock while they're still only about an eighth or a sixteenth of an inch thick. Because, of course, a ballet shoe has to look like the most delicate lingerie. It can't look like a trainer.
You put it on, and I can't tell you, the first time I put them on, I could have cried. I was like, oh my God, it's comfortable. You know, I can walk around, I could walk around in these at home. It's really soft.
It's very flat, so when you're on the floor, it doesn't give you a chance to wobble, to go in the front or the back, so it feels like I feel the floor very well and I can grab the floor when I work, which I like very much.
Alina Kojikaru, the young Romanian who's taken the Royal Ballet by storm in recent years, is another convert to the Gaynor Minden, although not without a struggle.
Certain things I could easily do in it, but there are some things I couldn't. For a while I find it really hard turning. So when we did one Sleeping Beauty two seasons ago, I was doing the rosadage in block shoes. Then I'll put Gaynor Mindens for the little few seconds I had for my solos, because when I dance on my own, I feel way better in Gaynor Mindens.
It's like when you first learn to drive a car. You know, you're not, you all that push-pull thing when you're sort of going around a corner. And then when you drive the car and you're not under instruction anymore, you let the wheel slip through your fingers, and you know, we all do it. Well, you can't let the wheel slip through your fingers with a Gaynor Minden shoe. You have to push-pull, is a way of describing it to people.
Yeah.
So it makes you use your technique.
Properly.
Properly.
If I'm quite honest, I do prefer the look of Frieds. Frieds, they look more like the quintessential point shoe.
Francesca Filippi had stress fractures in her feet at the time she changed to Mindens. She rose up elegantly on point to show me why these high-tech shoes had won her over.
It's underneath what we call the sort of the metatarsal area of your foot. As you come through there, you've got a little bit more resistance.
Oh, it's quite hard, isn't it?
There's quite a lot of padding, there's quite a lot of support there. It's a completely different feel in the Gaynor Mindens. It would be very difficult now, I think, to go back to wearing Frieds. It would take me quite a long time to get used to it again.
I had the record of paying with one pair of shoes for 5 months.
5 months?
It's like every day, rehearsal, class, shows, next day, class, rehearsal, next day, rehearsal, then show.
You get attached to every pair with these. They're all the same.
Have you ever kept any for sentimental reasons?
No, because they smell.
I was going to ask you about that.
They smell. That's the only downfall of this shoe. Because it's like a trainer, there is a smell by date. But you also, because they come in little bags, you can stuff your tissue back in and then put them back in the little bags and put them above your place. Yeah. It's fabulous.
They sound like they're a small miracle in your life.
In my life, totally. I just have to worry about the steps.
My concerns would be with them during the early stages of point work. It's very essential that during the early stages of point work the shoes fit correctly. And one of the things that you have to say about a Fried shoe is because of the way it's made, which we've discussed previously, frankly, it would probably burst before it would be able to damage your foot.
A And so battle commences. Very genteel battle, possibly on point, between the traditions of the handmade Fried and the technology of the machine-moulded Minden.
Our shoe develops as demand develops. If you were to look at the shoe that we made for someone like Fontaine or Sibley, it would be so much lighter weight and less substantial than the shoe that dancers are wearing now. Our shoe just evolves.
Sore toes don't make you a better dancer. Sore toes don't make you a better artist. Ballet is plenty hard enough as it is without having unnecessary pain.
At Fried's, the demand for our shoes continues to grow. We cannot complete our order book any month.
The Frieds are £29.50 a pair. The Mindens are £49.95 a pair.
The Frieds, you might wear them for a couple of shows or a week. These will last, you can still be wearing them after a month.
Comfort, quiet, and durability.
By saying it's quieter, just bang the shoe. Yeah. By saying you jump more, just improve your jump and yes. You can jump anyway.
I really have had very few injuries, and I swear it's because of these shoes.
Gaynor Minden are probably going into the future a lot more than Frieds.
Be interesting to see a collaboration between the two if they've both got together.
Yeah.
And have the Fried shoe, but with a slightly more padded toe.
But this is business, ladies. Ballet business. And the battle starting now will have to be danced out in the future, affecting not just today's dancers, but all those young, aspiring ballerinas who see in Alina Kojikaru, Leanne Benjamin and Vanessa Palmer a beauty of form and line that makes the prospect of sore toes and aching ankles a small price to pay. As the writer Alice Abrams said, in life, as in dance, grace glides on blistered feet.
Good girls, now off you go, gradually traveling.
Changing something like a point shoe, it's huge. You know, it's something that's actually quite scary. It's more than just changing your handbag.
Nobody enters this business unless they have a deep personal attachment to the whole idea of dance. We want to support, facilitate, and obey the dancer. That's what we aim to do with our shoes.
Well, yes, the competition between Fried and Gaynor Minden, I don't know, it's difficult for us because, you know, I'm not saying that Frieds are no good and that Gaynor Minden's are really good or that Gaynor Minden, you know, it's just what I've chosen, what I've got used to, and I don't know, I don't really think that, I just think about what I'm putting on my feet.
And finish. Okay, thank you, ladies.
Arch Rivals was presented by Felicity Finch. The producer was Tom Alban. Now with news of Today's You and Yours, here's Winifred Robinson. Hello, Winifred.
Hello. Well, February should mark the end of the cowboy clampers, those dodgy men who clamp your car when you think it's parked perfectly legally and then demand cash to set you free. They're all meant to be licensed by the end of this month, but out of an estimated 700 clampers, only 10 of them have taken the course, undergone the police checks and picked up an official badge. So what's gone wrong? We'll be finding out. We have an interview with a woman motorist caught speeding on camera who's had her conviction overturned and paved the way for thousands of others. And the great theatre ticket scam. We have carried out a survey which shows some agents charging a markup of